Financial Crisis 1, Government 0.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the economy as trading gets started for the day. Federal prosecutors walk away with nothing. A lot of people are walking away with pink slips and helping kids walk away with what they want for Christmas. All that ahead. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up about 0.5%. The NASDAQ about 0.67%. The Dow adding about 32 points right now at 10,279. European shares are up more than 1% this hour. And Asian shares closed mostly higher today. Chinese shares were down. Some really good news there. Despite the down numbers in the Shanghai index, Chinese shares were lower, even though they had some good production news that came out today. Chinese industrial production shot up about 16%. The government yesterday lost the first criminal case it brought in response to the financial crisis. A couple of Bear Stearns hedge fund managers were acquitted on charges of lying to investors. Let's bring in Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, who's with us live from our Washington bureau this morning. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
So what went wrong for prosecutors?
You know, the prosecutors relied to a great extent on emails between the two former hedge fund managers, Ralph Chaffee and Matthew Tannen. In one email, Tannen quotes a report saying, if it's correct, the entire subprime market is toast. But jurors were quoted as saying prosecutors took snippets of email and used them out of context. I talked to James Kaufman about this. He's a former assistant director of enforcement at the SEC. And he told me the prosecutors might have needed more solid evidence than emails.
There was sufficient ambiguity, apparently, in the evidence to allow the jury to acquit these people.
Will the Bear Stearns case, Nancy, make prosecutors more reluctant to bring future cases, or will it change their strategy?
Not according to Kaufman. He doesn't think this will make prosecutors change anything. He doesn't see this as a bellwether case. He does say other cases like the insider trading case involving the Galleon Group may be stronger. That case alleges there was an insider trading ring that included the Galleon Group hedge fund. And prosecutors in that case have wiretap evidence, and some people have already pleaded guilty. Prosecutors use sort of FBI tactics in that case, actually trailing people and getting wiretaps.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joining us from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research. He's also in Washington with us live on the radio with us. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
We just heard from our reporter, Nancy, that the U.S. government couldn't seal the deal in its case against those hedge fund managers. And today, of course, we continue to hear from the Senate Banking Committee and its chair, Chris Dodd, about reforming financial regulation. So Senator Dodd seems to be focused a lot on the Federal Reserve and cuts back on the Fed's power. Good idea or bad idea, Richard?
Well, I think part of it's a good idea. For example, they want to take all these various regulators we've got at the Comptroller of the Currency, the Office of Thrift Supervision, the Fed, and the FDIC, and put them in one place. And that's going to discourage the kind of picking and choosing that banks can now do, and arguably creates incentives for the regulators themselves to maybe kowtow too much to their regulated institutions.
And we'll see how that moves forward. I'm curious this morning, Richard. This week we've had report after report of job cuts. Adobe, 680 layoffs. Sprint, 2,500 jobs gone. Pfizer, 2,000 jobs. If this is what recovery looks like, I mean, send it away. I mean, what's going on?
Well, you have to be careful to distinguish between announcements and actual layoffs. And while we've seen a lot of high-profile layoffs announced, the count of those things, for example, the Challenger Gray company based in Chicago actually tallies these up, has been declining all year long. And actual layoffs, which we get a read on every Thursday, have also been moving down. So it's not uncommon to keep costs under control, especially at this stage of the recovery where growth is still very modest overall. We shouldn't confuse those high-profile announcements with the reality, which is declining layoffs over time.
Richard DeKayser in Washington. Richard, thanks.
A pleasure.
Well, the markets, as we mentioned, have been on a tear. The economy seems to be growing. And lots of people are saying the recession is ending, but not everything's pointed to recovery. We talked about the layoffs. What's going on with all those job losses? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith takes a look.
Last quarter was full of good earnings reports, and the job cuts just keep coming. Tom Higgins is chief economist at Payden & Riegel Asset Management. He says companies have slashed workforces to cut costs, but things will turn around soon.
companies have probably laid off too many workers. Once the recovery does start getting traction, then companies will start hiring back some of these workers.
But that doesn't mean employment levels will go back to where they were, says Jack Ablin, chief investment officer for Harris Private Bank. He says the recession is winding down, but we're in a new economy.
We as a nation have spent more than we've earned consistently for nearly 10 years. We grew an economy that was just too big. Too many vacations, too many autos, too many Starbucks coffees, too many jobs, unfortunately.
Ablin points out the U.S. has lost 7.5 million jobs since the recession began. He says it could take nearly a decade for those jobs to come back. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, November 11th, 2009, at marketplace.org. We talked about Chinese industrial output, and it indicates the world's third largest economy seems to have put the worst of the global financial crisis behind it. This comes ahead of President Obama's trip to China, which begins on Sunday. So what does the U.S. want from China, economically and vice versa? Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
President Obama is likely to recognize what China has done to help conquer the downturn. Nicholas Lardy is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
I think the president will certainly have to acknowledge that China is the first globally significant economy to begin to grow again. They came off the bottom. They've now had 10 months really of very strong economic growth. It is helping to pull the rest of the world along.
He says China's imports are now growing faster than its exports. Its demand for foreign goods is helping the rest of the world recover. Of course, no trip to China would be complete without talking about the currency.
The president has said he would raise the currency issue. That probably means allowing the Chinese currency to appreciate.
As for China, it wants the U.S. to back off from what it considers protectionist trade measures. And then there's the dollar. China holds lots of assets in dollars. It's worried about what inflation might do to their value. And it wants the U.S. to reduce its debt. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Question. What's the most profitable cell phone maker in the world? Here's your clue. The company only makes one phone. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has the answer.
It's Apple. The company controls no less than 2% of the cell phone market, but its iPhone has made it the most profitable in the industry. As a result of strong summer sales, Apple snatched the most profitable spot from Nokia. That's according to the firm's Strategy Analytics, which reported Apple made about $500 million more in cell phone sales than Nokia did in the third quarter. Thing is, Nokia makes far more cell phones than Apple. The Finnish company controls 40% of the market. But analysts say the problem is Nokia hasn't been able to compete with the iPhone. Yesterday, the company unveiled a phone that it hopes will do that. The smartphone is called the N900. We'll have to see if the device is catchier than the name. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
You know what they say about the difference between men and women who are lost? The woman will ask for directions while the guy will just try and find his way on his own. Well, according to a report out this morning, that may apply to investment decisions as well, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
In a survey, the online brokerage Scottrade asked women and men the same question. Did your investment portfolio hold the same value or increase over the past year? Scottrade's Chris Maloney says yes was the answer for 48% of each gender.
So their performance is basically the same. However, when you ask women about their level of confidence or their overall confidence in their abilities to do their own investing, they rank themselves a lot lower.
And he says the survey found women are more likely to seek financial education before investing. Marian Asnes at Financial Planning Magazine has studied women's money management. She says today's report should make women feel better about investing.
Those women who had been sneered at as being risk-averse and passive and blah, 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 turned out to do pretty darn well simply because they made well-considered decisions and stuck with them.
The study also found more women than men are using their investments to save for a family member's education or for a rainy day. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, being Santa Claus means you have to know the lingo. These days, kids are wanting PSPs or DVDs or Nintendo DSIs. In Britain, PC World is helping out. About 30 Kris Kringles have taken the magazine up on free training so they can deepen their knowledge of all the technical choices. One Santa Claus told The Telegraph he remembers the days of Connect Four when simple games were the rule. We here in the States remember this one.
No, no, I want an official red hat combination. Do you want to get ready my lay rifle?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
No!
Oh, Ralphie, be careful with that thing. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chitakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.